Republican Senator Scott Brown and one of his Democratic challengers, Elizabeth Warren, are working toward a ceasefire of the so-called super PACs.
By law, super PACs can't coordinate directly with the campaigns, but they're free to spend as much as they want on political attack ads like these.
Brown sided with big oil.
Jobs. Elizabeth Warren sides with extreme left protests.
Well, according to Politico, super PACs have already spent $3.5 million on the Massachusetts Senate race.
So Scott Brown says he wants to keep them out of that Senate race. And Elizabeth Warren agrees and says she wants an enforceable agreement to do just that. The big question, how would that work? Would it work? Well, joining us now is Richard Briefalt. He's a professor at Columbia Law School specializing in campaign finance law. And Professor Briefalt, thank you for joining us.
I'm happy to talk with you.
Let's start with that question. Could such an agreement be put together in a way that it was enforceable?
I don't think so, no. The whole point of the super PAC, the thing that makes them legal, is that they operate independently of the candidates. So to suggest that the candidates could actually control the super PACs that are helping them would in effect mean that those super PACs are themselves illegal. The super PACs that can do what they're doing are operating outside the control of the candidate, so it's hard to see how a candidate could literally enforce a restraint on a super PAC.
Interesting. Putting aside the legal element, what about in practice? If the candidates came forward publicly and just strongly denounced these ads, would that have an effect, do you think?
Well, it probably would in some situations. And I mean, I think you can see the super PACs are there for two reasons. Some of them are very closely identified with specific candidates. You saw this, you see this right now in the current Republican presidential contest. There are certain specific super PACs that are created solely to help a specific candidate. My guess is that those super PACs would listen to what those candidates are saying. On the other hand, the other super PACs are out there and have a broader agenda. And they may be working to help a particular party across the board. And it could be that a super PAC that is really interested in making sure that Republicans or the Democrats control the Senate next year or after this year's elections, they might go ahead and spend anyway. Hmm. They're less concerned about Brown or Warren per se, and more concerned about their party winning.
Hmm. Well, for folks who are concerned about this kind of runaway spending by the super PACs on the negative ads that we've seen so many of, for example, through the primaries, should they be encouraged that both sides in this race, in what's undoubtedly going to be a very high-profile race, that both sides are at least trying to send a message that this to keep this kind of super PAC money off the airwaves?
Well, I think that, you know, I think what we're getting is already, we're getting mixed signals about the super PACs. On the one hand, there's clearly a lot of pushback. The super PACs are being treated as dirty words, almost, by, mm-hmm. by some of the candidates. We've seen this in the Republican debates in the presidential campaign, including the one in Myrtle Beach. You see it now with Warren and Brown. On the other hand, there's some evidence that the super PACs are successful. Certainly the rather abrupt fall of Newt Gingrich in the polls in Iowa and elsewhere seems to have been triggered, at least in significant part, by heavy super PAC spending against him. And although he's denounced Romney's super PAC, he's also been able to get a big donation to one backing him. So this is often the case with in campaign finance. Voters don't like the ads. Voters don't like the groups that are paying for these ads. But the voters are often influenced by the ads.
It's interesting. You know, there's a history of this kind of deal. Back in 1996, Republican William Weld and Democrat John Kerry cut a deal not to spend more than $5 million apiece on ads, but it fell apart when things got really rough. I'm wondering if that's the way these deals usually go.
Well, you know, when election gets tight, the stakes are high. I mean, you know, one could imagine a situation where this deal between Warren and Brown, if it happens, might actually work for a while. I mean, it's only January. The election's not until November.
Right.
You could imagine the super PACs actually staying off the air between January and June or January and September.
And then it falling
the last
apart.
Few months, yeah. Especially if it's tight, the temptation is awfully high.
Sure. Well, Richard Briefalt, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure.
We appreciate it.
Happy to help.
Richard Briefalt is a professor specializing in campaign finance law at Columbia Law School.